Oloe Mafuta male SBS Samoan.
Michelle Hichelin, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
COP 29 in Azerbaijan has ended without any firm targets on climate finance. You were in Boca for part of COP 29. Why didn't the proposal for $1 trillion by developing nations and your organization not find support at COP 29?
Well, I think what we saw is rich polluting nations shirking their responsibility to deliver on the level of financing that low-income countries are calling for and urgently need, both to manage the continued loss and damage from climate change, to be able to adapt, and also to be able to transition to clean energy. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we didn't see rich polluting nations step up to the table and deliver the level of ambition that was needed.
The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that he had hoped for a more ambitious outcome.
I think the challenge we have now is that we know that amount wasn't sufficient to be able to support, you know, low-income countries who are on the front lines of this crisis, who've done the least to cause the problem, but actually who actually need resources to be able to transition to clean energy, to be able to adapt to what's coming as the world gets closer to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. So it's definitely not enough. It's not enough, and we've been hearing repetitively from countries on the front lines that more financing was needed to be able to keep us below 1.5 degrees and also to make the transition to clean energy. So, you know, I think it's fallen way short of expectations and doesn't, you know, point towards a favourable path for us staying below 1.5 degrees.
Are you concerned at the COP summits over the next 4 years with Donald Trump at the White House and his well-publicized views on climate change?
Of course, we're concerned to see a president elected in the United States who's not taking climate change seriously, who's appointing climate change deniers to key positions in his government. However, that should not delay ambitious action that's needed, and it really calls on other countries, including Australia, to step up and to deliver ambitious climate action that puts us back on a pathway to 1.5 degrees and also supports countries on the front lines with the climate finance that's needed.
What do you think the Alliance of Small Island States can do between now and the next COP, COP 30 in Brazil next year?
Well, I think there's a key opportunity right at the moment, particularly with Australia positioning for COP 31 to be held in Australia in partnership with the Pacific. So there's an opportunity about how that moment can be leveraged to not only raise attention of the special considerations that are needed for small island developing states, but also to make sure that in our region, and particularly from Australia, we see ambitious climate action and financing that's needed from our Pacific partners.
How do you rate the government, the current federal government's targets and ambitions in Australia? Are they ambitious enough?
So, look, it was positive to see Chris Bowen announce a contribution to the Loss and Damage Fund of $50 million. It's a start, but we definitely need to see Australia step up on its climate finance and delivering its fair share as one of the leading polluting countries in the world. So Australia definitely needs to be bringing more climate finance to the table. What's been positive is that so far Australia has delivered the bulk of its finance in grants, which is what low-income countries are calling for, rather than loans that continue to indebt them. But we need to see a much larger quantum. And I think particularly with the challenges with the US, we need to see Australia step up alongside other rich nations.
Assuming that Australia, the federal government, can host COP 31 in 2026 in partnership with smaller Pacific Island states, how important is this COP summit in 2026, assuming that the Australian government gets it to host it, in terms of actually outlining the government's vision for a future clean energy country and world?
Look, it's critically important. I mean, Australia is one of the leading polluters in the world. Australia needs to make a radical and rapid transition, and it can set the pace for other nations to make sure we get closer to a 1.5 degree reality. It's definitely a chance for Australia to step up and outline ambitious climate finance. And I think the other opportunity that us hosting a COP is to bring gender onto the climate finance agenda. We need to see greater resourcing going to women in frontline communities, gender responsive climate finance, greater leadership from women in the COP decision making spaces. And I do think this is an opportunity for Australia as a leading country that has been driving gender equality to really step up and use this moment to make the linkages between gender and climate change.
It'll be very hard to preach to other countries about clean energy when the Australian federal government and state and territories still approve building coal mines and gas mines in Australia.
I think you're completely right. I think that this is one of the things that's holding Australia back from securing the COP in 2026, is the fact that we're still investing in new, you know, gas and coal mines. And, you know, we need to show the level of ambition and action that's needed to get the world on the right pathway. And at the moment, we're not doing it. And I think it's one of the things that one of the reasons why Turkey is able to challenge Australia's bid, because it's not a leading polluter. So, yes, I think that if Australia really wants to be hosting and showing climate leadership, it's critical we start at home and we start by, you know, getting ourselves on track with no new coal, oil, gas investments, and, you know, starting to lift on the amount of climate finance we're giving to countries on the front lines of this crisis who've done little to cause it.
Michelle Hichelin, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Toi fia whaafafonga I nisi tala whaapea. Whaafafonga I le Apple Podcast, le Google Podcast, Spotify, ma po fela vai mawailau podcast.